Testing, testing. It's working.
Cool. No, it was broken. Okay, I'm gonna try and do my intro. That is scary, hopefully not. I'm gonna try and do my intro well.
You know what I'm saying? Oh my gosh.
You're like. Hi, guys. Greetings. Greetings all. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Things You Can't Touch, a philosophy podcast where we touch on the deeper things of life. And today, the guest that I have... Don't ever do that again. The guest that I have beside me is named Michael.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. Michael, hello. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
Yeah, introduce yourself, drop your Instagram and things of that nature so I can put you on the screen.
Yeah, my name is Michael. I don't really do anything. I'm a curator, I would say. Curator of culture. That's what I love to describe myself as. My Instagram is currently Sounds of Mike. It might change by the time this comes out. I rebrand every 2 weeks. What was I going to say? Yeah, follow big events. INTL is international work. Too many words. Yeah, we'll get international next year. So.
Amen. Well, guys, as usual, go ahead and follow the links in the description and follow the Instagram handles. Follow the Instagram handles that I'm going to paste upon the page, you know, upon the screen right now. Thank you. Time to get into action. I don't want to waste any more time because time hasn't been wasted. Michael.
Yeah.
I know you're dying to know the question.
Yeah, let's that go. Have to ask away. Ask away.
My ears are ringing.
Hold That's on. A sign of tinnitus.
It's tetanus.
He wanted to start a spark. Michael, the time has come.
Yes, it has.
For you to finally touch on the question that I have for you.
Okay, let's go.
Are you ready? I'm opening the screen now.
It's BLM.
Michael, the question I have for you is... Do black people... I'm joking. Michael, the question I have for you is, does money make the world go round?
Okay, I see what you're talking about. Okay. That's a very good question, Ethan.
Talk about it.
Very good. Initially, I want to say yes.
Okay.
And the reason I want to say yes is because economics and money, well, good distinction, but let's say loosely if I put money into the category of economics in general, it does lay the foundation of most societies. So if we talk about the world as a amalgamation of different societies, then yes, because if all the foundations of every society is some sort of commerce, some sort of money, then ultimately yes. And if not money, what else?
So, good question. And I'll answer it. If not money, what else?
Some could say religion. So, obviously, as a Christian, I want to say God. But at the same time, there are atheists. But nobody doesn't believe in money. Nobody doesn't use money. Everybody uses money in some way, shape, or form.
But
so,
sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but you said because they are atheists, that's a reason as to why religion can't make the world go round. But without religion, there can't be any atheists. So still... Wouldn't you say religion is still going to make the world go round?
No, because
people use it to not believe.
Okay, wow. That's good.
Did I hate that?
But why I said religion doesn't make the world go round is because if atheists don't engage in religion, then to me, that's not driving their world. Because as much as you might say, oh, it's the absence of religion that drives their world.
Yeah.
To me, because it's an absence of religion, you still can't say religion is driving their world. And... there are many, many theories, political ones especially, that don't rely on religion to function and still somewhat work. So,
but they rely on money.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I say money makes the world go round, because you know that's a saying, that's where I got the question from. What does that like? What does that make you think of? Because we have to be on the same page in terms of like the same definition. So.
It makes me think of everyday functionality. So people like functioning in general, but also like how societies are structured. How states themselves are structured, how the world is structured. Everyday, what's the word? Like everyday
activities.
Activity, like everyday life. Like, is money something that someone can go without for a continuous amount of time and no?
And the answer is no.
Unfortunately, in this society that we live in, no. So.
And that's because of capitalism, yeah. Or anything else?
It's because of capitalism.
Just flat, just like that. Yeah, it's because of capitalism. Yeah. And I'm aware that you don't believe that we can ever come back from capitalism.
No, we can't.
Why?
Capitalism is the final stage, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works. Like, in all honesty, it does work. Fair enough, it does create inequalities, and those inequalities are great. But the inequalities that it does create, it leaves space for things like meritocracy. So fair enough, even in the UK, I'm not going to say the UK is a meritocracy, but
mm-hmm.
I still think the innovation and the creativity and the excess that capitalism creates,
mm.
we can benefit from if you utilize correctly. I think the only reason that people might say it doesn't work is because they just happen to be at the other end of the stick, mm-hmm. or they happen to be at the global south who have been exploited for generations because mm. of capitalism. But let's not lie, if the global south had the same opportunity to do what the west did, they would do the same thing. So
would they?
Yes,
do the same thing in terms of, like,
maybe not as viciously, but okay. pretty much, yeah. The conditions were different, that's why.
Okay.
Africa didn't.
Oh,
that's not the question.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. Sorry, tangent.
Michael, can you think of a world without money?
Currently, no. But there are societies that don't rely on money.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take what we understand money to be, so physical currency exchange, the idea, the existence of currency, not every society has currency.
Mm.
And there were stages in our time where we relied on things like barter systems,
yes,
which obviously isn't money. So technically, yes. Mm-hmm. And even if you look at like anthropological studies themselves and mm-hmm. how they look at, you know, societies, maybe 20th, 19th century, there were still societies that didn't rely on currency. So yes, you can imagine a world without money, but the world we live in now and mm-hmm. the society that we're in,
mm.
no, because we've had currency for so long and
yeah.
we just we would never go back mm. to our system.
I hear that. And I completely understand why you think that. But let's now use our imagination. Imagine a world without money. Do you think the world would be better or worse?
Without money.
You can also define what better or worse is for you in terms of, like, inequalities, things of that nature.
I think inequalities would still exist regardless because not everybody would be able to access the same resources anyway.
Mm.
But then again, that's assuming that we don't all have the equal positioning. Like, for example, access to things like food
mm-hmm.
or land. Like, that's just assuming we don't all get the mm-hmm. same amount of land or the same amount of sheep
mm.
or, like, I don't know, seeds to plant. But I want to say it would be worse because I think the existence of money provides or acts as a regulator. So if you give people the ability to earn money,
mm-hmm.
it gives them a goal and a purpose
mm-hmm.
rather than saying, okay, you have to fend for yourself or you have to go to the farm every day, because then that's like a very obscure, like, purpose and it's not very efficient. So if you provide the conditions in which people can create money or make money, then it gives them something to do rather than be, like, quote-unquote, antisocial.
But, yeah. Say that the world didn't have money. Do you think we're going to create money regardless? Do you think there's no possible situation in which we can just live with a barter economy? Do you think we're always going to have to create money?
I think a barter economy will always develop into a cash one
mm.
because in a barter economy, it's kind of hard for you to, like, create reserves and prepare for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, let's say you're, like, exchanging produce. Produce is dependent on the season. So if you're exchanging things like animals,
yeah.
cows can't graze in winter. So
mm-hmm.
how are you going to exchange cows in winter?
Yeah.
You have to have a surplus of that.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the conditions in which you can have cows inside, then mm-hmm. you literally just can't trade. But what money allows you to do is trade continuously.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about things like borders when yeah. you include technology. So I think it would always develop into a cash economy of some sort because mm. people are always going to try and find the most efficient way to create things. And that just happens to be cash rather than produce.
So all things being equal, then
what
will happen? What? All things being equal. You know that phrase that they use in economics?
Mm.
All things being equal, like, it's a Latin phrase that they say.
I didn't do econ, so I have no clue.
No, but I feel like you're not asking me.
Ceteris paribus.
I've never heard that.
Ceteris paribus. Okay, cool. Yeah, we did an econ. Well, I did an econ anyway. When I took it. Why laughing?
Well, you did econ, didn't it?
I would have never guessed that
she
did
it.
Damn.
I wish I never took it. Anyway, ceteris paribus meaning all things being equal, because you said people are not going to be on the same level anyway because, you know, the temperature, the weather. Why are you laughing?
I never said temperature.
The temperature in terms of weather.
Okay, continue. I'll let you finish.
I'm sorry. The climate. Guys, can I take a breather? The climate will affect trading. Is that not what you said?
Yeah, and to some degree, yeah.
Okay, so all things being equal, so assuming everything was the same at all times, including the climate and people's position in society,
mm-hmm.
would money still be created?
If all things are equal...
Yeah, if all things are the same, like, all conditions don't change.
They will never change.
Yeah.
So there's no need to be more efficient. So money would never be created. Because there would be no drive to, like... If all things were equal, capitalism would never work anyway. So you would never, like, have the conditions for a society that requires money. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, there's no drive for innovation. There's no drive for... what's the word? For like efficiency, because either way you cannot change your position.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's always going to be in the same position. So, yeah.
So money will be created.
Yeah, that's the conclusion. Money will be created.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. We're going to take it back a little bit, only to define again. So, what does it mean for the world to go round?
Well, there's multiple definitions. Obviously, you can actually talk about the physical movement of the world on its axes that changes depending on various
geography.
Things. Yeah, come on. But that's one definition. But obviously, we're probably talking about, like, the world moving on. Mm. So, like, if you take COVID as an example of the world not moving, because, like, the world stopped relatively. So, the world... What's the word? Moving around? What were you saying? The world goes around. Yeah. the world going around is, like, day-to-day functions. Like, things just continuing to work on, like, a normal... level, I guess.
So, yeah. Okay, in my head, I had two concepts.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was the world going round, as in the world being a good place, like the world being a decent place to live in, the world being okay, like everyone is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant. And evidently, right now, it doesn't, because not everyone is comfortable. Like the difference in like the amount of money people have right now is crazy, because one of the percentages that I learned in political philosophy was that we right now are in the top 5%
of, as in us.
Yeah. Are in the top 5% just being here right now of the world.
Damn.
Yeah. Well, like world poverty is actually real, but we just don't see it because we're too caught up in our social media and this, that, and the third. So it's like, that's even another question in itself. Which world? Because we're evidently living in a different one. Because in the world that other people are living in, like those which are stricken or struck by famine or poverty, not that it's a laughing matter, but like those that are suffering right now, that's a different world. It doesn't make their world go round, evidently. It's making their world stop very much. But for us who are benefiting, not benefiting but working within
the system
of capitalism right now, the top 5% is making it go round more or less.
What's the question?
There isn't a question. It's supposed to be a conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, cool. And then that was the first one.
Mm.
And then the second one was, it might get a bit dark, but I don't know if you agree.
No mind.
It might not be dark, but like for me, it makes me think like, damn. When I say the world go round, I feel like money makes the world function with the structures that are in place right now. So patriarchy, what's the other one? When I think of patriarchy, patriarchy and capitalism and stuff like that. So like the structures that you know put black people in the position that they're in now. You know, the racial hierarchy that some people like to deny, but that I always say exists. Because there's something that I always talk about all the time, which is like money keeps us confined within the white man's system, whether that be the patriarchy or whether that be in terms of race, because I've spoken about this before, I don't know if you remember, but when I say that black women literally, I'm going to assume, earn the lowest, but contribute the most to the economy, in a sense that the percent, like the ratio of their income and how much they spend is crazy. Yeah. In terms of they spend more of their income than any other person, if that makes sense. And it's like the structures of society have made the world the way it is in order to keep people in the position that they are in society because of money. So that's my take on how money makes the world go round in terms of it benefits the white man.
Okay. Do you want me to add? Or?
I want you to see if you agree.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if you take, for black people in general, we're a consumer people, right? Mm. Unfortunately, we don't really make much, but we buy a lot. And the white man uses that to his advantage.
Because the white man.
Use it to his advantage.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I think black women spend, 30 times more on, cosmetic products than, mm-hmm. Anyone else.
That's a scam that we need to talk about for another day, guys.
Yeah. Black women are, the most educated demographic, but they struggle to get jobs. They struggle mm-hmm. to move up in jobs, which mm-hmm. is a problem in and of itself. So where you find that 30 times more to spend on consumer products is...
Only God knows where it comes from.
It's an issue. But and even the consumer products you spend on, it's kind of because of beauty standards that have been enforced on you by, Eurocentric standards.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't need to... Arguably, you wouldn't need to wear wigs or you wouldn't need to straighten your hair or mm-hmm. wear certain eyelashes or whatever
mm-hmm.
if colonialism didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Not to say that you can't, not to say that it's wrong.
Yeah.
Everyone can do what they want, but arguably that wouldn't be something that you aspire
spend
to
spend money on, basically. If
we never went through the white man's experience or the white man's hand. So.
Which is why I want to ask if you think this is all as a result of money. It's all of this because of money. Is racism, sexism, all the different isms, is that all a result of money? Because when I say the world go round, I don't even mean necessarily in a good way. I mean, does it make the world function the way it's functioning now? Is the root of all of that money?
Well, racism, yes, because the root of colonialism was economic expansion.
But is that the root of racism?
Yeah, because you get racism from colonialism.
Okay.
So, for example, the British would have never colonized if there was not economic gain there. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a big distinction to be made, not to justify imperialism, but it didn't start because of we're white, we need to dominate black people. It's mm-hmm. let's go to these places because they have resources, take what they have,
make
profit off
money.
Of it. And then in order to maintain that system, let's tell them that they're less than us.
Because,
mm. You're not born a slave, you have to make a slave. So
yeah.
That's basically, that's a racism in and of itself, which came out of colonialism, is... stems from money, stems from mm-hmm. the love of money. Bible literally says the love of money is the root of evil.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's a question. That's coming soon.
Okay.
We just came to the conclusion. We were just saying how...
racism is caused by money.
We wanted to define what we mean by the makes the world go round. And I said it's basically what makes the structures of society today. It doesn't have to be what makes the world a good place, but mm-hmm. it's just what makes it function. And then we were talking about the hierarchy of races and how black women are at the bottom, and it's money that keeps all of these structures in place.
How does money keep black women at the bottom?
Because, good question.
Well, because, for example, if you look at black people in general, we're consumer people. So the constant need to make, or the constant need to buy but not make,
mm-hmm.
is you're always going to be oppressed, or even the fact that black women spend so much more on cosmetics than any other race.
Mm-hmm.
The money that you should be saving for a house or buying a wig. So the money that you should be saving for a house or buying a wig. So
the money that you should be saving for a house or buying a wig. So
I didn't. I'm joking.
I said those. I didn't.
Michael, that was anti-black.
I was.
You basically implied that I should put a wig.
Because you look scary, look rough. You say you look rough.
I was joking. Disclaimer. 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 This is a joke. It's not. I'm representative.
I'm cutting out the disclaimer.
Huh?
I'm cutting out the disclaimer.
No, you won't. No, you won't. If I don't see this in it, I'm gonna sue you.
Back to talking about the barter economy. Would you say we've kind of touched on it already, but I just want to ask you straight out. Would you say a barter economy is better than the economy that we have now?
No. What?
Oh.
Why would it be better? It's so inefficient.
Okay. But isn't it better because, you know, you're too money in your thinking.
No, okay, let me clarify.
Okay, cool.
From what I'm saying, you're going to think I'm all money motivated. I'm not stricken by hustler. What's that thing? What do you call it?
Hustle culture.
Hustle culture. Like, I'm not stricken. I literally study politics. Like, if I wanted to be hustle culture, I would do econ. I would do politics. But, like, the reason I say that is because, obviously, when you actually look at the history of barter economy, you look at how it is, it developed into the economy we have now for a reason, because it isn't efficient. So, no, it wouldn't be better, because it's just, no.
Awkward.
That's
what I was about to say.
But it profits the rich the most. Mm. It's not necessarily because it's better that
Because when you say efficient, what do you mean by efficiency?
Okay. Good question. To be honest, I feel like in an economic sense, I think efficient is the right word to use, but you can do what you like. But it's not necessarily to equate efficient to better. Because better for who? Because that's what Eden was saying. We're in the top 5%. I know how much is my budget. Because we're in the UK, we're part of the top 5%. Like I said, I don't know about everybody else, I know how much is in my bank account. Being in the top 5% is wild to me. So the 95% of the world that's struggling
is in poverty.
This system, I don't know if it's.
But you're not struggling.
I'm not
though.
Struggling, but I'm just. Relative. I know how sometimes I want to cry because of the.
Yeah. You ate.
That is a poverty and
love. Yeah.
It's really 95% more people who are struggling worse than we are. That's so much.
Is and 95 is a big percentage.
But so it's okay. Yeah. I can say this: the reason why they're quote unquote. I don't want to generalize every single society because.
Yeah.
For example, let's say the global south loosely.
Oh, guys, the English today is much.
The global south loosely didn't experience like its development in the same way. Mm-hmm. But if you take the global south, for example, capitalism isn't necessarily the problem in and of itself. Mm-hmm. The problem is the way it's their experience of capitalism. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. So if you look at like...
Yes, but...
If you look at like, the Asian tigers, for example, who are like, what, Taiwan, Singapore... Yeah. Taiwan, Singapore, Google it. The Asian tigers, if you look at their experience, they were once colonies. Like, they had bad experiences of colonialism, but some of them are growing 8% a year. Mm. Like, they've emerged into, like, semi-developed status because of how they utilize capitalism in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we talk about the 95%, it isn't that, like, the efficiency of capitalism is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's their historical experiences of capitalism that has meant that they're hundreds of years.
It's not historical because right now we're in the 5%. What's the rest of the 95%?
Yeah, but history has had its impact. It's still influencing today. For example, if you take, let me talk about Nigeria because I know that.
Yeah.
So if you take Nigeria's experience, for example, Nigeria has the most poor people in the world. 40% of its adults are in poverty. But at absolute numbers, it's extremely wealthy. But the reason why Nigeria is the way it is and the reason why it has so much poverty is because of its historical experience of colonialism. For example, Nigeria was like set as a business venture. So when the British came, they divided by three. Lagos was the only colony, but then they had Northern Protectorate, Southern Protectorate. The only reason they ever merged it together was because it was economically efficient to do so. But in doing that, you didn't, number one, recognize the societies within there. You didn't lay the foundations for good governance or good politics. You were simply extracting, for example, the Royal Niger Company. They put themselves in there just for extraction purposes. By the way, the Royal Niger Company still exists. It's Unilever.
So, oh!
Like, they still...
Wait!
They do the same thing. Like, it hasn't, like, ended, but that's a historical, like, development. Or if you look at the way they extract crude oil, palm oil, who told them how to do that? It was the British. The British did that. In, what, 1929, there was 66%, like, good quality oil. 1941, 29% quality oil. Because the British taught a wasteful way of extracting oil. And this is still the same method that we use today.
Yeah.
So it's basically showing how like the history of it all is why it is today. Like it isn't necessarily because capitalism itself is bad. It isn't. It's just how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
If you take Ghana, for example, Ghana was colonized as well. They faced like pretty much the full brunt of colonialism as well. Look at Ghana today, growing at 8% a year. Look at what it's trying to do in terms of like its place in the world. It's coming up in the world. Because the president is utilizing capitalism in a relatively good way. Fair enough, Ghana's kind of being punished right now. They're in a financial crisis. But more than a financial crisis, but that isn't, what do you call it, Akufo-Addo. That's not his fault, it's the West, it's their fault. Let's, the international institutions, they're really shaking Ghana, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I agree with your saying to an extent. Mm. Well, that's 2 points. First of all, capitalism, I understand in of itself, is not negative. However, if it's now become synonymous with the negativity because it's been carried out, to what extent can we say capitalism isn't negative if the only forms of that we've seen have always had a negative impact? Mm. No matter how, like, it's been carried out wherever.
Can you separate your two questions? Because I'm going to forget. Too much of anything is bad. Too much work can kill you. Mm. So capitalism in and of itself, fair enough, what it's become has been somewhat bad. You can still separate it. If you drink too much water, you'll drown. But like, you're not going to say water is bad for you. So
but in which way has capitalism done... Like, it's really hard for us to look in the society that we live in and be like, oh yeah, but capitalism is good.
I'm not going to say it's rosy, but it's... There's a reason it survived, because it's the most efficient. It creates the most, like, conditions for innovation, the most conditions for progress. If you look at the building we're in right now, the society we're in, do you think the NHS will be a thing if there wasn't capitalism, if there wasn't surplus, if there wasn't excess, you know? So it has good elements. Fair enough, I'm not going to say that inequality is not a thing, it is, but like your point, you can kind of say that for anything. So.
Okay. Then, second of all, I was going to say, you know how you drew up on the example of like the Tigers versus Nigeria versus Ghana? I feel like it's kind of difficult to say it's only because of historical context, mm-hmm. because obviously we do understand that Nigeria has way more tribes than Ghana, so it's not always necessarily what the West has impacted upon the global South, but also the conditions and context that they existed in to begin with.
But the reason Nigeria has more tribes is historical context. If the Berlin Conference never happened, then Nigeria wouldn't be 250 tribes.
First.
Or ethnic groups, not tribes.
And Nigeria was a business, it wasn't a state. And then eventually they put it together and said, if it became a country, we could make more money off of this. And they started extracting all the oil, they thought the country finished.
Yeah.
And that's why Nigeria exists in a state.
And it still functions as a business, not a country.
We didn't have as many tribes because they didn't match. You know how Togo still exists like that?
Yeah,
they could have matched us together, but they didn't. So Ghana has less tribal diversity. That's why it's kind of easier to like get over.
And there's less people.
And as a country, we don't fight like that.
There's more religious unity in Ghana as well.
There's a lot of things that just contextually make more sense.
Yeah.
Do you think capitalism can exist without greed?
Well, capitalism in a pure sense relies on greed because it relies on excess to function. So the whole point of capitalism is that you create, but then you create more than you need so that you can sell more than you need, so that you can make more than you need, so that you can continuously grow. It's a growth-like system. So that's why I say it's hard to figure out the end, because capitalism just, it's like a monster, it feeds itself, like, in order to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
So, even if you look at, like, the arrival of capitalism in, like, the West, for example, whether it be through land enclosure or it be through colonialism, those are both greedy mechanisms. So, even capitalism, the start of it was greediness. Mm-hmm. So, at the end of the day, capitalism is, like, it relies on greediness because that's its, like, core function. So.
Yeah. Plato believes that it is human nature for even the most virtuous leader to be unable to resist the temptation of money. And thus, when money becomes involved, people are unvirtuous or invirtuous, whichever the word is. Do you agree?
Firstly, you've mentioned leader, right?
Yeah.
So this is a person in position of power.
Mm-hmm.
If they're in a position of power, they may want to maximize their like fortune. So I could see why he would say that they can't resist the temptations of money, because like in their society, they would need money to like be at the top. So they would constantly try and get the most amount of money.
When it comes to temptation, do you think it's the temptation of money or the need for money? Mm. Is there a difference?
Good distinction.
Because leaders have responsibilities, like the government, whether they're fulfilling their responsibility right now or not, you know, they have responsibilities, like the welfare of the people, and in order to keep the welfare of the people in this current society, they need money.
Yeah.
So is it the temptation of money that's you know, grabbing our leaders and making them invirtuous, or is it the need for money, or is it something else?
I think it's both. I think you can merge temptation and need, because like, as we've said before, you need money to make the world go round.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of need money to be an effective leader. Even if you look at, like, civil rights movements, for example, they functioned on wealth. So, like, black families were donating money to people like Martin Luther King, or even, like, the black church. It's worth billions. Mm-hmm. So even those, like, social movements, like, that you would, like, on the surface you would think aren't, like, money movements, they kind of are because they rely on money to function. But I think where temptation comes in is that because you know that you need money for your, like, social impact to occur, or for your, like, leadership to be successful, you're going to constantly, be tempted to find ways to get more money. So the need for money
leads to the temptation to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
I like that. Hobbes.
Thomas Hobbes. What about him?
Do you believe that without money we'll enter the state of nature that he talks about? Oh, maybe I should clarify what the state of nature is for the people then. The Hobbesian state of nature is basically the notion that humans, in their rawness, like without the state, basically without authority, will be nasty, brutish, and short. So we're just going to, you know, fight each other for gain, and everyone's going to kill each other, and everyone has the means to kill each other, and no one can trust anyone because there's no authority. So it's like, would you say that authority then is money?
No, Hobbesian authority is not money. Hobbesian authority is the Leviathan.
Yes.
Which is...
I know that, but that's not what I'm saying. When I say... I don't mean Hobbesian authority. I mean the lack of authority. The lack of authority meaning the lack of money. Not necessarily Hobbesian.
If you don't have authority, you can't have money, because you can't have, like, systems of central banks or banks in general, because
just
rob it. So, like,
that's very true. I don't think about that, evidently. So how does one answer the question?
What was your question?
Or can the question be answered?
What was your question?
Whether we will become like the state of nature that Hobbes talks about if we don't have money.
Yeah, kind of. The how you can sort of link it is because if you say, okay, in order to have money, you need authority, because you need to create systems of authority to manage that money. So invariably, you're still creating that authority that Hobbes talks about, which prevents the state of nature. So the absence of money wouldn't require authority in the same sense as if you have money. Therefore, you would be in a state of nature similar to what Hobbes describes.
Wow. A very clean cut. Yeah.
Thank you.
You talk like you're writing. I find it interesting, Michael, that you spoke about religion earlier.
Okay, here we go.
It's not going to go in the direction that you think.
All
right. Religion, a religion is expressed as a devotion to an object of worship, i.e., usually God. Do you think money has become a religion?
Yeah, because some people worship money. Investment bankers worship money.
Wow.
Because, like, not all of them. Let me not generalize. I'm a social scientist. but, like, yeah, like, it has. People do worship money. Like, people do anything for a check. Like, literally anything. Like, like, people are literally getting put on their face in Dubai for some money. No, but, like, it's for money, because you want to, like, money is a status symbol. Like, it always has been. Like, the more money you have, the more respect you have. Some people have no personality, but they have money, and they think that's a personality trait. So,
Michael, who did you attack? Michael, who did you attack?
They know who they are. But, like, yeah, like, it's something you worship. Well, I don't worship money, but something.
But money is a religion.
I wouldn't say it's a religion, but it's something you can worship. For example, like, in like theology, is it Mammon? Mammon's the...
I don't know. I haven't heard of that.
I think Mammon is like...
Idols.
No, Mammon is like a demon. And that's like the representation of money, I believe.
Okay.
Because it's like, I think Shakespeare says it, where he's like, you can't serve God and Mammon or something. Like, you can't love God and love money at the same time. Like, is it Mammon? Yeah, two separate things. So if you, like, there are people that worship money.
Yeah, they do. When you say worship money, do you mean, like, oh, you said it. They do, they do bow down to money. No, 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 but, like, you said what I was going to say, which is you literally do anything for money. Yes?
Matthew chapter 6, verse 24.
It's in the Bible?
Absolutely.
I thought it was in Shakespeare, damn.
He probably wrote it.
Yeah.
Wow. I like that. That's beautiful. Does money bring happiness? Look at how he smiled and grinned and giggled. Oh, yes, you've already heard this question before. Money, so money you've rehearsed. Does,
money brings happiness because, like, give me money, I'll show you happiness. Like, literally, like, poverty is not good. Like, it's not a good thing. It's literally a disease. Like, I hate when people say, oh, you don't need money. Like, I hear where people are coming from when they say that, where it's like, in, like, jobs, don't chase a job because of money. Do what you love, you make money from it. I get it in that sense. But you, like, literally being poor is not a good thing. Like, it's not, like, it literally isn't. Like, let's not try and, like, people being in poverty, obviously they didn't put themselves in that situation.
Yes, but people being poor.
It's not, like, it's not something you aspire for. It's not something that you'll be fully happy with. Like, fair enough, you can be content with a good family, a good life. Like, I know people that all they want is just family, a home to put their heads, food to eat, and that's enough for them. And fair enough, like, that is enough. Like, not everybody needs to be Jeff Bezos.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, if you can't pay your bills month on month, month on...
Hey, month by month, maybe. Monthly, if you like.
If you can't pay your bills monthly, if your mortgage, if bailiffs are coming to your door for money, like, are you happy? No, you're not. Like, let's not lie. So, yeah, somebody said it. I just agree.
You said it. Michael, you said it. You're the one that said it.
Yeah, I said it. And okay. I agree with myself. Like, yeah, you don't need to be Jeff Bezos, but, like, let's not lie. If somebody gives you 10K now and said go Dubai, you'll be happy. So.
Okay, but let's talk about happiness. Okay. I have already spoken about happiness. You guys. Have.
Go and watch that episode. Is it before this one?
It's not an episode. It's a promo vid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go and watch that promo vid. Instagram, the things you can't touch. The things you can't touch. Instagram and TikTok.
Thank
and
you.
And YouTube.
Thank
all
you.
All the socials.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was very useful.
Go and subscribe.
Well, subscribe now.
Subscribe now. Wait. Yeah, you should have subscribed. Just click the button.
Okay. That's enough time.
Yeah.
Period. Cool. Happiness. In the conversation that I had with Amina, yes, in the premier vid, she said happiness has a temporal... Sorry. Happiness has a temporal element in a sense that it should be long term. That's when you achieve true happiness. I know in the question I didn't say true happiness, I said happiness. But I guess money can bring you temporary happiness, but is that, you know, is that enough? Is it sufficient? Would you want to be happy long term?
I hear what you're saying, but how I see it is, like, if you, like, have enough money, when I say, like, money brings you happiness, I don't mean millions. I just mean enough for you to, like, sustain yourself and never really have to worry. So, for example, myself, I'll be more, like, personal with it. Like, I'm not an only child, but I only have one older sibling. So, like, growing up, my mum and dad only ever really had to, like, look after me. So there was always, like, enough money for me to, like, have what I want because it was kind of just me.
Yeah.
But when I got to, like, 16-ish, obviously, as a, like, a man, like, I'm not really going to be asking my mum for money.
16, you're a man.
No, but, like, you're trying to, like, mature. Like, you don't feel comfortable asking your mum for money, like, or messaging. I guess. Like, if it's your birthday first, but, like, I'm not going to be saying, mum, can you send me £10? Like, it's not going to, you know. So, that's why you, like, go work and you go outside, you earn your money here and there, even if it's agency job, whatever.
Right.
You try and get your money. So, obviously, I would do that here and there. And, obviously, it'll be enough. Like, I would always have enough to, like, you know, get food or, like, get whatever clothes or shoes I wanted or devices or whatever. But then going to uni, for example, the uni I go to, I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship, meaning that even though my SFE wasn't, like, a crazy amount, I would eat enough, like, I would always have enough to, like, you know, get food or, like, get whatever clothes or shoes I wanted or devices or whatever. But then going to uni, for example, the uni I go to, I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship, meaning that even though my SFE wasn't, like, a crazy amount, I still have more money, arguably, than, like, most other people in my university just because of the scholarship I have. And I'm not going to lie, that has made me... that has made me very, very, like, comfortable and very content. And like, for example, my uni does that in a way where they try to like financially support people because mm-hmm. they know if you don't have to worry about money, you can focus on other things like education. Yes. So that's what I mean by it brings you happiness in the sense that I have enough money going to university to never really have to worry about it. Mm. Like, I'm not thinking, how am I going to pay rent? You know, I don't have to think about that. So
your concept of happiness is just like not necessarily having to worry, not that you have a surplus of money necessarily.
How do you say, is it contentness?
Contention.
It's contentability.
Contentment.
Like being content.
Contentment. Contentment.
Is it contentment?
Oh, let's be asking Google.
If it's contentment, that's my definition of happiness. Like,
wow, you agree with me. Yeah, that's good. You agree with Amina. That's what Amina said.
Yeah, go watch that video.
And you should know if you watched it.
I have watched it.
Wow. Yeah, anyway.
I'm a true fan.
Wow. Thank you for your support.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so why do I keep kissing this mic? I'm sorry. So money brings us happiness because it allows us to do what we want to do. So it's like, money is not necessarily what makes us happy. It's the ability to do what we want to do.
Yeah. Facilitate is a good way to describe it.
Okay. Somebody said, if you don't have freedom of money, you don't have freedom of anything. Yeah. Does money bring freedom?
Yes, 100%. Even like, I don't want to make it BLM, but even with like the black community, I think we struggle with is money. Like, a lot of us, for example, there was actually stats that came out like a couple of weeks ago. Black people don't own anything. Like, we, from houses to property to businesses, we don't own anything.
Shout out.
Social scientists, I would clarify that statement.
Most black people don't own anything. Not to say that there aren't successful black people out there that own stuff. I forgot where I was. What was I talking about?
We
have nothing. Nothing to our names.
Yeah, so like a lot of, we rely on like credit systems, so like loans, credit cards. Like, yes, you need credit cards to build credit, but black people overdo it. Like, most black people overdo it. So it keeps us trapped in the system where we constantly have to borrow, and it means that we don't have the freedom to like do what we want because, for example, if you max out all your credit cards and loans,
It's a long day.
When you actually need one for like a business, you have you can't go to a bank and say, I want money back. Like, your credit score is 200. So, like, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, freedom of money gives you freedom. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, not to quote Dr. Uma, but he was saying how, I don't agree with him, but like, I'm just saying.
Disclaimer.
He was saying how, like, they're so quick to give you a student loan to put you in debt, but like, you want a loan for a business, it's so hard. Why is it so hard? Because they know, like, freedom of money is freedom, and as long as you like are trapped under the bank and trapped under that monthly loan payment, you're gonna be stuck there forever.
Do you believe the government is controlling us with money?
No,
that's two separate questions there. First of all, is the government controlling us?
Is the government controlling us with money? But yeah, they weren't. Not Rishi Sunak's government.
Oh, okay.
But
she said they're gonna grab you.
I would say, are they controlling us with money? No, because money would incite antisocial behavior. So in some cases, like if they were gonna do that, they would give everyone money, so there wouldn't be like fraudsters and thieves. But I would say. Do they control us with money? I feel like that's an interesting question, and it's hard to answer because does the government even control us?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think they.
I believe in conspiracy theories, and I believe that the government is controlling us now.
Let's flip the script. In what sense?
In what sense? I just feel like everything, especially like the school system, is the craziest part because like another question is whether like where do we draw the line between education and indoctrination? Like the school system, they teach us everything that they want us to know, and you know there's something specific that I deeped recently. You know how this country's speciality is cautionary.
Quaternary.
Oh my gosh, that's what you meant.
And it's not even. It's not even quaternary. Our specialism is tertiary. We are far from a research-based economy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like. You can continue. You can continue. Everyone makes mistakes, guys. It's okay to learn. It's a learning space. So
it's a safe space.
It's a safe. I don't know about safe, but it's a learning space.
I'm gonna keep saying words how I know how to say them.
Cautionary.
It's
tertiary.
That's how we said it. Tertiary.
You went. To okay. I don't want to say the school.
I'm gonna beep it.
I'm about to say.
You went to school, so my destiny.
Your school wasn't exactly.
No.
Cool. So I'm gonna go back to the point I was trying to make before. Where I failed. So the UK is tertiary, like in the way that they make most of their money, right? Which means like they get it from services, yes. Like financial services, especially at the top.
Yes.
Guys,
it's not at the top, but yes.
What's at the top? Exactly.
I believe it's education. No, it's not. I don't know.
That even proves my point even further. Mm. Guys, why do we have further maths and not further English?
What?
Listen, hear me. I ate, guys.
The
listen.
The reason you don't have further English is because what is that?
Because the government wants you to believe that. Listen to me.
I'm gonna
be
serious. If you love yourself, you
will
delete it.
Yeah,
cut it
out.
But I really thought I ate.
Nah.
I'm gonna close it up now. Guys, thank you. Thanking you in plurality for attending this podcast. Please endeavor to attend the next. It was nice seeing you. Why are you laughing?
Don't endeavor, you must.
Thank you. Attend the next podcast.
Yes, yes.
Episode number 4. Thank you for coming. Thank you for watching.
Like, comment, subscribe. If you can't comment, comment. Yeah, comment. If it's TikTok, comment on the comment. Share it, like it, repost. Everything, share the link, WhatsApp, status.
What did they say? Copy link.
Who says that?
Like.
They say copy link.
No one says
that. Oh, no, they do that. They say share, press copy link.
Thank you, because.
Yeah, copy link for algorithm.
No, he's still doing the way it up and down.
For algorithm purposes.
Okay.
Free TikTok from the US government.
Guys, do you see how the patriarchy just took over my clothing?
I was trying to help you, but all right.
That's what they always say. That's why I failed my econ multiple choice. I thought the UK was a cautionary.
Cautionary was definitely like the one that was banned to
us all. I have like ear problems, so they have to be a little bit loud.
Sorry.
No, don't shout, but like, just a little bit.
The patriarchy always tells me what to do.
Oh my gosh.
With your daddy, dang. Sensei, black. I'm who I am. Unstoppable. Thank you.
Wait, hold on. Let me put my mentor back.
Did you see the way he closed?